Well, good morning and welcome to Labor Day at Kanata Baptist Church, and it is Communion Sunday. Now today we are going to be talking about Christian community from Ephesians 4, but I got to tell you, there's a significant disincentive going on here. I don't have to wear a mask, and the longer I preach, the longer I don't have to wear a mask. So somebody probably had the roast in the oven. Yeah, don't start throwing things, please. I've told I'll be unplugged if I go too long, so don't worry. There is disincentive, but there's safeguards. So you'll make it in time for lunch somewhere today. So welcome. It's great to be together, isn't it? Now, until now, many of us have been enjoying a nice warm summer. Many have had vacations, and some have even tied the knot and got married. Last summer, I officiated many of these weddings. It was awesome. They were small, intimate gatherings with a lot of punch. In fact, exactly a year ago today, on Labor Day weekend, I officiated my middle daughter Bethany's marriage to Pat. Woohoo! It was during COVID, and 50 people were allowed. It felt a little weird because of the protocols, masks, and such. And maybe some were even a little bit anxious, but there was community and love, and it was incredible. And also, because it was held in Quebec, we were able to have dancing. No one lost their salvation, don't worry. I got to dance with Marquita, my daughter, the bride, and I even got to dance with my grandkids, and all during COVID. It was awesome. But, you know, as fun as that was, and as fun as weddings are, I really enjoy something about doing weddings, and that's the rehearsal. The rehearsal is incredible. This young couple in the bridal party, they're like deer in the headlights. There's an expectation, but an uneasiness, and there's a lot to go over. And for most young people, they underestimate the complexity, kind of like a service like this. There's a lot of things going on here. So I have them stand exactly where they need to be with small tape marks on the floor or grass if it's outside. We pretend to start the music and each of the bridesmaids and groomsmen come down the aisle in appointed order. We review where the parents sit, who walks the bride down the aisle. We go over who has the rings and who has them, the custom crafted vows, because we know the bride never has pockets in her dress, right? And what they're going to say to each other. The table is set up for the signatures to sign off the paperwork. Someone's got to have a pen, and don't forget the forms. We had one group lose their marriage license on their wedding day. We have to do it all over again. And then last but not least are the announcements about pictures, reception, and all this. And it's funny, especially the groomsmen usually stumble around for a while, and after about three tries, everyone gets it. It's a great time to reassure the couple that even if someone drops the flowers or the electricity goes out or they have to move inside because of the rain, which is what happened to my daughter, they will still end up married. And that helps settle them down. Then I say, enjoy your wedding day. It's your day. Relax and enjoy. I remind them to relax and enjoy and not forget the end goal, being married for a lifetime. Then the bonus is a great dinner with lots of fellowship after, and that's really fun. But what does all this have to do with us, you ask? Well, have you ever realized that this life, what we are experiencing right now, is actually just a rehearsal? We are learning how to act, how to work through things, how to abide with Christ, and how to live in the common hope we have. And we, like new bridal parties, stumble around a bit until we get to heaven and enjoy not the rehearsal and the rehearsal dinner, but the actual marriage supper of the Lamb. In the meanwhile, we're in some sort of wave of COVID right now. Many of you will soon be going back to the office or school, the start of fall programs, getting the kids up in the morning, normal schedules. And we've all been in various stages of isolation during this, haven't we? There's been separation and lockdown for about a year and a half. And as I'm sharing right now, many of you are logged in electronically. And a warm welcome to each one of you. I pray this service is a blessing to you wherever you're sitting at this very moment. If you're at home, I hope you have the bread and juice ready and are prepared to take communion with us virtually in a few minutes. As we've been separate for so long, our sense of community can easily be lost. Anxiety over being together can creep in, and the joy of being a community in Christ can slowly ebb away. How about you? Are you a bit fearful? Many are. Do you feel a bit disconnected from our community? Some do. Or what does community even mean during these COVID times? The Apostle Paul helps us understand how to live in Christian community in Ephesians 4. And our big idea this morning, if you don't get anything else, try and get this. Christian community is being one in heart, one in harmony, one in hope in Jesus. One in heart, one in harmony, one in hope in Jesus. Where do I get that, you ask? Well, thankfully, the scripture was read earlier by Reba, and thank you for that. And here's what it says, Ephesians 4, 1-6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Now these are Paul's words from the Lord, written from a Roman prison. Ephesians is the first of what are called the prison epistles, or letters sent from prison. These are written to an Ephesian church that Paul spent significant time with, probably the longest of any church, 3.5 years. The book of Ephesians has 6 chapters. The first 3 describe our exalted position in Christ, and then the last 3 describe how we live our lives collectively as the body of Christ in that exalted position. So the last 3 chapters, 4, 5, and 6, are very communal and focus on our life together. And Life Together is the title of a book written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's very famous, and it emphasized this type of life that Paul talks about in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. Bonhoeffer maintained that Christianity is not a singular faith, but a faith that's lived out in community, together. He went so far as to say that Christianity really is community in Christ. This community is what the Bible calls koinonia, or the common fellowship in the Spirit of Christ. Bonhoeffer wrote this book, Life Together, in 1939, when many of his colleagues and students had already been imprisoned due to their opposition to the Nazi regime. Soon he would be imprisoned too, and then hung. So Bonhoeffer, a modern-day prisoner, speaks about life together in his book and quotes the apostolic prisoner, Paul, who penned these verses in Ephesians from prison. I'll quote Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, several times in this message, and we'll learn about community, even during times of separation, from 2 imprisoned men who were unable to be physically with their people. So Paul, the ancient prisoner, starts chapter 4, the second half of this letter, with verse 1, and he says, "Live a life worthy of the high calling we all have received." This is the general call to all believers to follow Jesus Christ, this great and high calling paid for by the highest price, the blood of Jesus Christ himself, the call to receive by grace through faith this salvation, to become one of God's children, to walk in obedience to Jesus. This is not referring to a specific call or vocation or the works prepared in advance for us to do from Ephesians 2:10. No, this is the general call to walk in loving obedience to God and to love his people. After exhorting us to live up to this high calling in verse 1, then Paul describes how we do that together in community in the following verses. You'll remember that living in Christian community is being one in heart, harmony, and hope in Jesus. So let's look at the first of these. Christian community is being one in heart. Check out verse 2 of Ephesians 4. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. This verse is so clear about being filled with God's love and keeping our emotions in check with that kind of love. Now, I must have needed some work in this area because my daughter Bethany, the same one who got married on this very day last year, painted this verse for me for my birthday 20 years ago. I'm sure the camera will somehow see this through the spit screen here, but it's very good. The canvas to me was a not-so-subtle hint of the type of, can you see over here? Can you see that? Perfect. Okay, you can't see my face. That's why you said it's perfect. It was a not-so-subtle hint. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Yes, we must bear with one another in love, not be a bear. Yet what really is this kind of love? Do we look to the world, TV, movies? We get kind of a distorted view that way, don't we? Surely our source of this kind of love must be God, and the description of this type of love must come from Jesus and his word to us. Bonhoeffer reminds us, and I quote him, "What love is, only Christ tells us in his word. Contrary to all my own opinions and convictions, Jesus Christ will tell me what love toward the brethren really is. The other person needs to be loved for what he or she is, as one for whom Christ became a man, died, and rose again, for whom Christ bought forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I must meet him or her only as the person that he already is in Christ's eyes, the person they already are in Christ's eyes. So we must see people as Christ sees them. We must recognize them as a person who Christ died for, as he or she already is in Christ's eyes. They're forgiven, they're loved, they're chosen. Only then will we have the humility and the patience and gentleness to bear with them in love. Now, of course, many of you recognize these traits as fruits of the Spirit, but you may say, well, I often exhibit different kinds of fruits, and I call them more fleshly ones. So Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So we can ask God to empower us by his Spirit and help us from falling into those fleshly emotions. And he promises, he said that he will give us his love. He has shed abroad his love in our hearts by this same Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. What a hope and a promise. So one in heart, one in harmony, one in hope in Jesus. We've seen one in heart. Let's move on to the second point. Christian community is being one in harmony. Harmony. Check out verse 3 of Ephesians 4. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity or harmony of the Spirit. It's a lofty goal. Peace and harmony for many of us feel like distant dreams, don't they? We grew up in or now live in environments that are filled with discord and division. This is where we must actually individually and personally go to the Prince of Peace. He promises in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So we ask Jesus, we go to him asking for his promised peace, and then we receive it by faith. And then there's a reminder earlier on in Ephesians in chapter 2:14. He reminds us that corporately Jesus is our peace. Verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So Jesus also makes peace. He gives us peace, but then he makes peace. He doesn't just keep the peace, like the thankless job we send our troops into where they're getting shot at and can't shoot back. No, he actually makes peace. Again, this can be received together with others by recognizing Jesus' rule and reign over us and surrendering to his peacemaking presence. We can do that collectively, surrendering to his rule. Bonhoeffer also adds that this harmony is God's idea, not some ideal we dream up. Like the communists in Russia, who had a vision for community and equality that squashed and killed every person who did not share the exact vision of what this community should look like. Stalin's vision is completely contrary to what we're talking about here. So Bonhoeffer says, the man who fashions a visionary ideal of community himself demands that it be realized by God, by others, and then he lives by it. He enters the community of Christians with his own demands, sets up his own law, acts as if he is the creator of the Christian community, as if this dream will bind people together. When things do not go his way, he becomes first an accuser of the brethren, then an accuser of God, and finally an accuser of himself. End quote. We must remember that we are, after all, kind of a motley crew of being healed people who are still in the process of being transformed into the image of Christ. We're not there yet. So harmony surely means a unity of spirit, despite our different opinions, political affiliations, or views of this world. All of these are non-essential next to the bond of peace brought about by Jesus' shed blood for each one of us, for he himself is our peace. Focusing on the essentials in Christ and giving people room to hold different opinions on other non-essential issues is the secret sauce to community harmony. As Augustine said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. This I feel, this I desire, this I do indeed hope for in him who is our hope. One heart, one harmony, one hope in Jesus. That's Christian community. So we've seen the first two. Let's look at the third point here. Christian community is being one in hope. Look at verse 4. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. We collectively have this great hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. It can, during times of trial and distress, seem a little far off, can't it, when we're in the middle of stuff? How do we continue to fan this flame of hope? How do we keep the hope alive, even during lockdowns, even during COVID? Well, Paul tells us. He gives a very clear description in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 18. He talks about the Lord himself coming down with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, trumpet call, dead in Christ rising first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And so we all will be with the Lord forever. And we're to encourage one another with these words. This is the most fantastic, incredible news. We will be with them together. Let's keep encouraging each other with that. You see, this hope we have is a communal hope, not just a personal hope. We will all be with the Lord forever. The whole community of faith awaits the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so Bonhoeffer says, now we belong to Christ because we are in Christ. That is why Scripture calls us the body of Christ. This means we have been chosen and accepted with the whole church in Christ. Then we will also belong to him in eternity with one another. We who live here in fellowship with him will be one day with him in eternal fellowship. He who looks upon his brother should know that he will be eternally united with him in Jesus Christ. Wow, we'll be eternally united with these brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Think about what Bonhoeffer is saying. We will be in eternity together with each other, like a forever family. Now think of all the annoying people you've ever met in a church somewhere. We really are a particular people. I mean, there's every kind of person, and no one gets along with everyone. Yet all of these weird and wonderful folks will be with all of us, you know, the perfect ones. Those ones will be with us, the perfect ones in heaven. But it's a sobering thought. This shared hope unites us in a shared future. We're all going to be a family, and you don't get to choose your family, do you? So I've said that Christian community is being one in heart, one in harmony, one in hope. So let's wind this up. I said in the introduction that I love doing weddings and that the rehearsal is so much like what we learn in our daily lives to prepare us for heaven. Can you see that our daily COVID lives are the great rehearsal where we learn to abide with Christ and his people, our people? We also work out how things will work one day when we're all together with him in heaven. This is God's dry run for learning to live in community, one in heart, one in harmony, one in hope in Jesus. Now, if you don't believe me yet, you haven't been following with the verses or whatever, Paul gives one final reminder in Ephesians 4, verses 5 and 6, in case you missed the earlier ones. Look at verse 5 and 6. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father all, Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. One is repeated four times, so is all repeated four times. Paul is saying all one, all one, all one. And finally, how would you say it? All one. Thank you. All one. Like the Trinity in the song we sang earlier, I believe that God is three in one, and we are in him, and we are one. We are the Christian community, many in God together. And the goal of this Christianity, says Bonhoeffer, is to meet one another as bringers of the message of collective salvation. The message of collective salvation. Now, today is Communion Sunday. We, the body of Christ, come together in common union, communion, with him and with each other. May God's heart for our connectedness and community be yours today, like the rehearsal and the rehearsal dinner. Thank you.